When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they were finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Today we remember the circumcision of Jesus, his presentation to the temple, and these seemingly two insignificant people named Simeon and Anna. It's a lot, and each part of the story has many, many layers. And as with much scripture, there's a lot to learn about God if we only scratch beneath the surface. Now, the Jewish faith, like the Christian faith, is full of traditions and nuances. They're very similar in many ways to our own. After all, we borrowed and adapted much of their practices in our own faith. We are their spiritual descendants, so to say, of a faith much older than our own. And as such, we owe it to the Jewish people to honor them as brothers and sisters. One of the traditions under the law is circumcision and dedication. A male child was brought to the temple for circumcision on their eighth day after their birth. In the tradition of the rabbis, the presentation of the child is likened to the expectation of being summoned by a queen. It's something we do out of obligation, out of respect, out of loyalty. After all, we've been called by a higher power. 8 days ensures that at least one Sabbath day has passed. The Jewish belief that the Sabbath heals the soul. as childbirth is traumatic to both the mother and the child. But circumcision also has an atoning property, as the blood from the circumcision is considered an offering to God, as well as the blood of the sacrificial offering brought that day as a gift. 8 days allows a time for the child to rest, for their health, so that they might be strong enough to endure another trauma and to help them grow in that strength. Now, these are just a few of the Jewish teachings. There are others that are associated with circumcision. Now, this is a stretch for us, a theological stretch, but for us, our circumcision is baptism. It occurs shortly after birth, and in Christian teaching, it is for the forgiveness of original sin, not the sins we commit, but the sins that were committed by our foreparent Adam and Eve. We bring the child, whether male or female, and we make promises to raise that child in the Christian faith. It's complicated, and some people struggle with this. It's like we're making promises that we're not sure we can keep. In a way, we're almost developing a covenant with God. And see, that's where our Jewish spiritual ancestors have a leg up on us, because they know that only God can make a true covenant. And only God is 100% faithful to those promises. We can try, and we do try, and sometimes we fail. But God never fails. And I believe that somewhere God honors our attempts. But now let's talk about Simeon and Anna, a priest in the temple and an elderly widow who has made her home in the place considered closest to God. Now, Simeon's appointed this day to his duties, which could have been far-reaching depending on where he was assigned when he showed up that day. But it just happened to be the day that the young Jesus is brought to the temple. It was merely his time. How could this happen? For we read that Simeon was a righteous man who had the Holy Spirit. He lived in hope that Israel would someday see the day of the Lord. And he had this promise from the Lord that he wouldn't be allowed to die until he had seen the Messiah. How did these forces come together? The temple's a busy place. Simeon had lots of duties. But the Holy Spirit led Simeon to be in the right place where Jesus was brought. And he took Jesus in his arms and he praised God, knowing what this child would become, what it was that he held in his arms. And his prayer is still recited in many, many churches today as a benediction. That's Simeon, but what about Anna? Another person who just happened to be in the temple that day, as she had been, we believe, for some 7 years. Without going out, that's where she did her ministry of prayer and fasting. She was always in the temple. She had abandoned the world, but I believe she had taken on a ministry of praying for the world, which is an important calling. She had left the world on the outside to be closer to God and to live in service. She prayed and fasted for the world, and she lived with the same hope that Simeon did. And these two stand alone as somewhat exemplars of the faith. They're two classes of people, different people. One being clergy, one being laity. One not only saw but held Jesus. One maybe only knew from a distance, but praised God and shared his story anyway. What they can teach us as Christians is that not all of our teachings about the Jewish people are quite right, are they? We've vilified the Jewish people through our teachings and our prejudices. Temple priests were just as sinful as the people they taught and served. And yet, here's Simeon, a man with a righteous heart. Is it fair to judge all? Widows were to be pitied. But here's Anna, abandoning all in order to serve God and humankind. It should teach us to be kinder in our judgments, as we should be seeking to abandon our own prejudices. Perhaps Simeon and Anna are a part of our story to remind us that we are to be reserved in our judgments of others, a teaching that we too often fail at. For the world is full of people who, in spite of our preconceptions, are just like us. We've been unkind in judging others. And some of this comes through history of abusive leaders, and some of it has come from the pulpit. We should think twice before judging those who practice a different faith than our own. Generalities do not serve us. There's a world full of good people worshiping and living in community who just happen to be Roman Catholic or Palestinian. Not all Muslims deserve the ire we place upon them, and the Jewish people still live in a covenant with God. Of course, there's going to be abusers and wrongdoers. But for each of them are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of good people whom we should be looking at as our neighbors. A first century rabbi by the name of Yeshua, or you might know him as Jesus, said it's our duty to love them. You know, we live in this dichotomy between this world and the next. The next world is a mystery. And I love a mystery. We have ideas of what it'll be like, but even more, we have uncertainties. The world, however, is ever before our eyes. And it is this world that we are called to live in and serve God as best we can. In order to prepare for the life ahead in that kingdom of heaven, we must work to make the kingdom of heaven on earth a better place. To live and to act as Jesus' representatives by loving God and loving our neighbor. By doing so, we prepare our souls for the life of living in that community of God. Reserve your judgment, for it truly belongs wholly to God. But he, in turn, calls you to be generous with your love. For your love belongs to all. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.